From Beer of the Day World Headquarters in Elk Grove, California, it's the Beer of the Day Podcast. On the program this evening, we concentrate on all beers from throughout Oregon. We recently went to Portland, and we will recap our trip and tell you about some of the beers that we brought back with us. Joining me tonight, Andy Hamilton, Joel Miner, Britton Miner, Stephen Williamson, and our returning champion, Jeff Miller from Pasadena. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
Yo.
Hello.
All right, our first beer of the evening is Rooster's Cream Ale from Coalition Brewing Company in Portland. We didn't go to Coalition. Turns out there's a lot of breweries in Portland. Maybe 50, 60, 80. I'm not really sure. But we went to, I think, maybe 10 different ones when we were there. And that was just scratching the surface. There was actually quite a few that we didn't even get to that we'll have to hit up next time. So Rooster's Cream Ale, 4.8% ABV. Let's give it a try here.
I will say that this beer has already made me wet.
Well, that's because you poured it in your lap.
So we brought this beer and several of these other ones back from Portland on the plane. We got them at the airport and brought them back with us. Jeff doesn't have the beers that we have tonight because these we could only get in Portland.
Wah, wah.
So
he was busy that weekend.
So he can see us on camera and we will show him the beers and he can just salivate.
Does yours have
looks
stuff
pretty
in it?
Light?
Yeah. So this is the first thing I noticed is there's a lot of black stuff inside my beer.
It's like black tar heroin. I don't know.
I didn't get that.
Nope. Must be at the bottom of the bottle.
You have it too.
Yeah. So
yeah, mine does definitely has some sediment, some dark sediment.
Wow. I hope it's not botulism.
Could be.
That'll make for an interesting second half of the show.
So it's kind of cloudy. Good color.
Kind of a golden color. Maybe a dark gold color. It's
definitely cloudy, yeah.
The floaties is a little disturbing because normally the floaties is the same color as the beer. This appears to be dirt.
Oh, and hold on. Steve, you didn't get any of that?
No, no floaties.
I didn't either,
for me.
And we got the first pour, so.
You got the first
one? We got the first two.
Yeah, they
pours,
got the
yeah.
first two. I pulled out the dump bucket glass here for us when we get to the bottom because that just doesn't sound appetizing.
I'm going to try it and let you know what it is.
Okay.
Is this unfiltered or what is it?
It must be unfiltered. It looks unfiltered to me.
Hold on. Is mine lighter than yours?
Yeah, it's about the same.
The same. You know, after brewing my own beer, this is pretty clear.
Hey. Rooster's Cream Ale is a smooth, slightly malty session beer. Flaked barley is added to give body. This is definitely flaked barley at the bottom of the sucker.
All right.
Well, that's relieving.
Yes. That's a normal beer ingredient.
Yes.
So
I don't know, flaked barley?
We can all, that's what we feed the cows.
Yes.
That's what I try to tell my friends when I pour them beer. Oh, it's just flaked barley. Or just really bad brewing.
All right, so how about we drink this? Anyone had it yet?
Yes,
I did.
I had it.
All right, what do you think?
It's smooth.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Joel. Sorry.
No, it's just it tastes like a good lager, or I don't know. It doesn't really impress me that much, but it's very easy to drink.
It's very bland to me.
It's very easy to drink. It's not what I would call necessarily a cream ale, though. It doesn't have that creaminess factor, but it is very smooth.
It's a little, maybe a little more creamy than like your standard lager.
Yeah,
but this has a kind of a straw flavor to it.
Yeah,
It tastes like very of the earth.
Kind of like, you know, it has flaked barley in it.
For the amount of head and like bubbles that I'm seeing, it's not that carbonated.
But no, it does remind you a little bit of a cream soda. I mean, it's got that little. It's got definitely the barley flavor. You know, as well as the malt, but it is.
It's not sweet at all.
It's not sweet at all. Yeah. No, but it definitely has a cream soda, you know, taste to it.
Consistency for sure.
Yeah.
Its aftertaste doesn't stay around too long.
No,
either.
Very
it's
little
like
aftertaste.
Very little aftertaste. Yeah.
Very easy to drink.
Very easy. Yeah. I mean,
is it kind of like a Boddington's? I mean, when I'm not drinking the beer, does it taste like a Boddington's?
A little bit like that. It's not
it's
as
hoppier, you know.
It's not as nitrous as Boddington's, but it has
some qualities.
It has some European qualities to it, like Carlsberg and those types of corn tasting lagers.
I find it pleasant,
but you don't get the mouthfeel that you get from Boddington's. No. Yeah.
It's not as nitro, you know, it's a little bit more like a standard lager than that, but it's somewhere in between. It's on the road to Boddington's. All right. So as far as our trip goes, let's talk about that a little bit. We went to Portland. We visited several different breweries there and, let's talk about Cascade. So we walked a long way to get there.
2.5 miles. It felt like 12.
We had to go like over the bridge and under the underbelly of Portland, the seedy underbelly underneath the freeways, and it's where the bums live. And we walked through there and we
saw a couple crackheads.
I thought they were residents.
We finally emerged from the underworld and arrived at Cascade.
Yes.
And that place was very cool. If you're going to go to Portland, I'd say that's definitely one of the ones you have to hit up. Cascade features sour beers. And they had a sour beer for every flavor of the spectrum, every color of the rainbow, every Skittle flavor times 10, you know, they had a different beer. So we ordered tasters. Everybody ordered six, I think, tasters. Yeah. And so there was...
There are six of us
Six of us. And so we had a whole table full of tasters of just all different colors of the rainbow. Very cool. And they were all very solid. I mean, there was some that were a little bit, you know, a little bit more experimental, I would say. But for the most part, I thought they were pretty solid beers.
Yeah, I mean, it's like some people really like beets. Like, you know, like red beets. I mean, I didn't have a red beet.
By Drake?
Hold on. They're like a red beet beer or like a spinach beer. They didn't have anything like that.
No,
but there's some people like
fruity.
Those, yeah. And some people will have a taste for those beers. And like Dallas said, they had that whole spectrum. So, you know, if your thing is pomegranate, you're going to have an option to have that kind of sour beer. Also, one thing that I was really impressed with is they had a bunch of sours, but their IPAs were really good as well. Mm. The pale ale and the IPA that we had was great.
So we went and... it was like the second day after we had kind of overdone it the day before.
Yeah, we did.
And we were all a little bit, you know, worse for the wear or however you put
Definitely.
It.
We weren't bringing our A game.
No, and I remember really enjoying the beers we had, but we were just kind of down. You know, it was a long walk. We were kind of hungover. I've been back to Portland since. I went back to Cascade. I went there to try, you know, certain beers. That Black Cap Raspberry Sour Ale that we had was so good the second time. I bought a bottle, brought it home. It lasted one day because I just couldn't not drink it. It was so good.
That's the one that stuck out to me for sure. That really was a good one.
And they had really good food. I don't think you guys ate, but
no.
I
did. No, they, that's the only place I didn't eat when I was there.
They had good food.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the beer news of the day. Big Finish. All right, so the big article that has been on my radar this last week or so has been a blind taste test that Pace Magazine did, and they took the 116... best American IPAs and somehow arranged a blind taste test to where you can compare them all.
We tried to blind taste test six beers and that was like, you know, an act of Congress, but we'll see how they do 116.
So, I mean, I don't even know how you do that.
Was it all in one sitting?
I doubt it.
No, I think they must have had like a competition where
I mean, there's beer judges and they rate, you know, they rate beers based on certain things. And so that's, you know, it's more.
But even if you have 1 ounce of each one, you know, yeah, your taste buds at the end are going to be a little skewed.
A lot of ounces.
Well, that's true. But then also, how do you, with 1 ounce of beer, can you really give it? You know, we have a 3-sip rule here. Yeah. Where we, you know, it takes a little while to get used to a beer. So I don't know how that really works. I mean, we tried to taste test all the pale ales that we could find. We didn't survive. We barely survived that show.
We did it. That show does not exist.
No, I mean, it will never see the light of day for sure. So you got to be careful that with that. So I'll run through the top 10 out of the 116. There's some on here that are interesting.
Should we guess what number one was? Would we know it?
You can guess it, but you won't know it.
Oh.
Number 10 is Cigar City Brewing Jailai.
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 We had that.
We picked up a 12-pack of it last time I went down there.
That's a great beer.
Yeah, Tampa.
I've heard really good things about Cigar City. Never had their beer.
Their brewery is really cool to go to and hang out, too.
They have this girl that's there, and she fresh rolls cigars for you. Like, no joke. It's legit.
That sounds fantastic.
It's great.
It was really good.
It's a really good brewery.
All right. Well, we got to go back there. Number 9, Firestone Walker Union Jack IPA.
I believe I've made reference to this beer tonight.
Possibly an hour or two ago. Yeah, he was drinking the best IPA you ever had.
As it is pretty damn good.
You didn't say it was the best ever, did you?
No.
It's good, but... And I love Firestone, but I don't know. There's a lot... I can name a lot more than better than that.
I wouldn't put it in top 10. I love Firestone, too, but...
Hey, Jeff, this is a scientific rating. So whether you would or not, it is.
Number 8, Founders Brewing Company Centennial IPA from Grand Rapids, Michigan. I've heard a lot of people say Founders is very good. We haven't had nearly enough of it.
We've had this beer, though, the Centennial IPA. I'm almost positive we've had it.
Maybe.
I don't know that we have.
I don't recall, but, you know, that's not saying much. Heavy Seas Beer Loose Cannon IPA. Heavy Seas Beer Loose Cannon IPA from Baltimore, Maryland.
Yeah.
I think I saw them drinking that in The Wire one
time.
Actually, I'm pretty sure I didn't.
They only distribute to the projects.
Okay, number 6 is very, very interesting. I bought this beer for the first time tonight. Stone Brewing Company Delicious IPA.
I had two of them tonight.
Comment, Jeffrey?
You know, overall, I'm not a huge Stone fan, but I know that they have some beers that I do like, and I haven't had that one, but I'm sure it's good.
Yeah, I haven't had it yet either, but I'm going to maybe right after this show.
I mean, when you put delicious in the name, it's got to be good.
Yeah, that's the first thing I said when I drank it. I said, well, it says delicious, but I want to decide. I don't want the bottle to decide for me.
Setting the bar kind of high there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's a little arrogant, isn't it?
But maybe Sierra Nevada can come out with their own delicious IPA and then they still can sue them. Maine Beer Company, another one. Freeport, Maine, another one. Jeff, you went to Maine pretty recently, right?
No. I went with you.
No, but you were somewhere on the East Coast.
I was. Cape Cod.
Okay. That's pretty close.
Rhode Island.
Okay.
No, Maine.
Okay, gotcha.
It's closer than here.
But I had a few good beers from Nantucket Brewery, I think it's called. Tasty, but not Freeport.
Yeah, okay. I remember you drunk texting us a bunch of Nantucket beers.
Yes. Breakside Brewery IPA.
Hey.
Breakside.
I believe Breakside.
I wish we had brought one of those with us home.
That was good stuff.
That's from Portland.
Yeah.
It's the last place we went right before the airport.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I was about 20,000 calories in that day.
There was one beer that I looked at the menu, and there's one I didn't really want to try, and that was the...
Chili pepper beer, whatever it was.
Yeah, chili pepper beer. And I was like, so I ordered another one. And I asked her, I was like, is it any good? And she's like, it's a kind of an acquired taste. I don't know. So I ordered a different one. I take one sip of it. And I say, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the chili pepper beer.
And the bartender was for sure that it wasn't.
Oh, no, it's not.
No way. Absolutely not. This guy's an idiot.
Yeah, no.
It's burning my tongue, sir.
No. It's worse than that because I tried that beer too. And after like 3 days of drinking and you have heartburn the level that we had
it was so bad.
You touch that chili pepper beer, your throat's gonna just freaking explode.
It didn't even taste good.
Yeah, it's all right.
But no, that their beer was good. I just wish I wouldn't have had 20,000 calories at that point in the evening. I mean, before that, we were eating like fresh meat and
freaking. Yeah, we went to the charcuterie.
It wasn't fresh.
It was pate off of a plate with some crackers and cheese.
It was aged and dried.
Ooh, I took a picture of that pate. It was good.
Oh my goodness.
Number three, Ballast Point.
Sculpin IPA. Yeah.
Sculpin.
Grapefruit. Wow.
Grapefruit Sculpin.
Yeah. I had that. I had that on Nitro, which was better.
Which I don't think that's a great beer. I don't, you know, I didn't like, and they say in the article that they knew exactly what it was because it, obviously it's the only grapefruit beer, you know, IPA right. in the bunch.
Yeah.
So that kind of brings the blindness out of it.
It does. And then everyone knows, oh, Sculpin. Sculpin.
Yeah. And this whole Sculpin, they went $15 for a 4-pack of Sculpin now. I'm like, how? This is just a regular IPA. It's fine. It's great, but it's nothing. Yeah. It's not $15 good.
And if I come into your brewery and I want to taste all your beers, freaking serve me your beers.
Oh, we want to spend $80 now. No, no, you can only spend $24. Fine.
Well, fine. It's hard for us too because I mean that. So there's a place that was local to here that we used to visit quite a bit. It was a local bar. And they had Sculpin IPA on tap for 3 or 4 years. I'm thinking of Rancho.
Yeah.
And so we had Sculpin IPA so much. And then when you go to a place and you're paying $6 to $7 for a 22-ounce beer of it now, it's like, oh, really? So.
Main beer company, Lunch IPA.
That came in as number what?
Two. And number one, the best beer in the world, the Brew Kettle White Raja IPA. From Strongville, Ohio.
Heck yeah, I've had it. The White Raja.
Yeah. That's what Joel loves that beer.
Yep. Did you bring one back with you?
Yeah. You guys
you've had it.
Yeah, we tasted it. As I recall, that was good. We'll have to seek some more out because that was a darn good
one. Go back to your homeland, Joel. Bring us some shit.
So I'm pretty impressed. Out of the top 10, two of them are from Maine. Yeah. And three are from California. Sounds like we got to go to Maine.
I think we could just order.
We gotta go to Cigar City.
Too. Cigar City, I want to go to.
Cigar City was it was a good brewery to go to.
We gotta stop by Grand Rapids, Michigan, on the way.
On the way.
Sounds like a long road trip.
Jesus. Just take a
Michigan and then Florida.
Yeah, a little detour. All right, Jeff. Let's go off the program here and let you drink a beer.
Okay.
You have the, from Double Mountain, from Hood River the. India Red Ale. They call it the IRA.
The Irish Republican Army.
Yeah.
That sounded good.
That was great, Jeff. Really good.
Thought you guys would be impressed. I have a Deschutes glass here.
Very impressive.
So, Double Mountain, when we were up there, Brandon was up there a day ahead.
Yeah.
And he went to Double Mountain. Are you going to get into this?
No, go ahead.
He picked up a bottle of their Creek Ale, which we had at the Sierra Nevada Single Fresh Wet and Wild deal last September. He brought a bottle back to our hotel room, and while you guys were all asleep, the two of us shared it.
Thanks.
It was only 11 ounces, so it was nice. It was good.
Wow. That would have been great. All right, Jeff.
I don't know if you guys can see this. It's pretty rust colored, copper color.
Yeah, it's a little cloudy too, looks like.
It is. A lot of head. I'm going to try this.
And we're going to watch you drink it.
It's all this pressure being the only one.
Can you drink that a little slower?
We can slow it down and after production.
Yeah. That's it.
It's tasty.
We've had one beer between five people. I'm getting thirsty.
It's bready. It's piney. It's kind of like, you know, I really like these fresh hop ales, and I know Dallas does too. It kind of has that fresh hop taste.
It looks a little like cinder cone in color.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
It's probably a little heavier, I would imagine.
Deschutes, what's the new one? Fresh Squeezed?
Yep.
Kind of has that taste. It's tasty. I've actually never had one of their beers before. This is my first time trying Double Mountain. And so this is from Hood River, which is right outside of Portland.
Yeah.
I take it you guys didn't go to Hood River,
Brandon,
right?
Brandon and Kira did.
Is that a double? It's a double. It's called Double Mountain. Is it's an IPA though?
IRA.
IRA, which is a red IPA.
Right.
India Red Ale.
India Red Ale.
It's not so pale.
I think you guys would like this. I would highly recommend it. It's tasty. It's got a good amount of bitterness throughout. It's a little dry, but it's got that fresh piney hop taste.
Yeah, I mean we had some Double Mountain beers at that Sierra Nevada festival, yeah. And we were pretty impressed with it. So I got to seek some of that out. It doesn't really make it down to where we are from what I've seen too often, but we'll have to seek that out. All right, on our side, we're going to try from Rogue. This is the Rogue Creamery 80th Anniversary Ale. Rogue Creamery is a cheesemaker in Oregon, and for the last 80 years, they've been kind of a craft cheesemaker, and they're actually the first U.S. cheesemaker to export raw milk cheese to Europe. So they're pretty famous, and every 5 years, Rogue makes a beer to commemorate them. So they had a 75th anniversary, and now this is the 80th anniversary. This is classified as an Imperial Brown Ale at 8.5%. And I think this is a pretty rare beer.
It's classified as what again? Sorry.
An Imperial Brown.
The first thing that jumps out to me definitely is the smell. It has a very molasses kind of brown sugar smell. It smells great. It smells really good.
Yeah, it does.
So the last Imperial Brown Ale we had was from a brewery called Bayhawk.
Yep.
And it was by far the worst beer we've ever had on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So if this, this should win that battle.
We hope.
when he was pouring it, I was shocked at how dark it was. But I think once Dallas told me it was an Imperial, that changed a little bit.
It means darker brown.
Yeah. Darker brown than standard brown.
You can still see through it.
I just hope it doesn't taste like syrup.
It definitely has that like the molasses and that sweetness that Stu was talking about in the smell.
And the taste.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah, that good?
Yeah, I think it's great.
I'm almost getting a little like Tootsie Roll at the end.
Yeah, there's that, but I was expecting this to be overly sweet, and it's really not.
No, it's good.
They're not packing that extra sugar in there to mask the alcohol. There's an alcoholic taste to it.
Yeah, definitely.
So
I know this is a long stretch here, but have you guys ever had the bread that you get at the Outback Steakhouse? That brown.
Yes, the brown rice.
So if you like have that brown loaf of bread and someone came out and put just the perfect amount of butter on it, and then you took a bite of it and took a sip of this, I'm not sure that you'd be able to tell much difference, except for one has alcohol in it and one's a liquid.
I actually don't think that is a real far stretch.
No, I don't think so either.
I like the Tootsie Roll thing though.
Yeah, it has
I'm getting the Tootsie Roll
that's
thing.
That's right on.
It has a semi-chocolatey finish at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Like fake chocolate, like a Tootsie Roll, though.
Fake chocolate, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Tootsie Roll is right on the money. Okay, so we, in Portland, Rogue has a tasting room, a tap room.
Tap room. And they have their distillery room next door, their spirit room, whatever.
Right. So Rogue, I mean, they do, I think, the majority of their brewing in Newport at their big facility, but they stretch throughout Oregon. They're pretty have a pretty good footprint in a lot of places, I think. And their place in Portland, I wasn't really impressed with. It was kind of
it was the most run down of all the places.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, but here's the thing about that is if you looked at it, we stayed on the brewery side, so they were just serving beers. We didn't go into the distillery side.
No.
But if you looked at the patrons that were inside there, we were going into the Denny's version. But the distillery side looked like Ruth's Chris when it came to the people that were in there. So
they were having more fun, but we were trying to stick to beer because we had kind of been pushing it a little hard that day.
And our waitress was Well, first we thought, man, she's gonna be a total bitch, but she turned out to be all right at the end.
Yeah, and so they have Rogue has the pink bottles, the Voodoo Donut series,
yeah,
which is a big Portland thing, and we've had a couple of them down here on this program, and in general, we had their peanut butter pretzel. Yeah, oh my. But they had two other ones that we had not had before, and we got to try those.
The maple bacon one was decent. The other one was not. It was I don't remember what the other one was.
It was like a strawberry or raspberry.
So peanut butter bacon is one we did not have. We had the pretzel raspberry chocolate one.
Yes.
That's the one we really liked up here. We had the lemon chiffon one here. And then there's the maple bacon and that was it. There's no peanut butter one.
So when you guys were there, did they have like 20 or 30 beers on tap?
No.
They're all bottles. We drink all bottles.
Yeah, at Rogue, it was like that. But we did go to Deschutes, and they had all the Deschutes beer that we know here, and then they had maybe six different experimental ones that we got to try as well. So
Deschutes was impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it was. Yeah, their service was good.
Yeah, we didn't spend a lot. We only stayed for like one or two drinks.
Yeah.
It would have been cool to stay there more time there.
It was huge. I mean, that whole place was huge.
It was
huge.
Like the third stop of like, 6-8 stops that first day.
Yeah.
So
I mean, the place reminded me of the Sierra Nevada restaurant area.
Yeah.
You know,
they're a biggie.
It's basically that in Portland. It was downtown Portland.
Deschutes was impressive. Rogue was not at all.
And they had the sriracha.
We didn't drink it,
but we did not drink it. Yeah. We've seen it here in Sacramento, and we still haven't had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to.
We'll have to try that.
We'll have to try it so you don't have to.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have our strange brew and several others that we brought back with us from Portland. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. Well, it was a long time coming, but the new Beer of the Day website is ready to go, and you need to come and check it out, beeroftheday.com. And each day we feature a Beer of the Day that we have had from the past. We've written a review about it, and if you've had it before, you can come and comment on it, rate it, upload photos of it. And each day there'll be a new Beer of the Day up there. You can also come. We have pretty much every beer there is in the world up there, as well as every brewery. So you can come and comment on your beer experiences. This podcast is also there. So come check it out. Also, if you have a cell phone, which most people do, you can put your phone number in there, your mobile phone number, and interact with the site by text message. So what that means is that if you're ever at a bar or a brewery or you're having a beer for the first time, you can take a photo of it and it'll ask you what beer it is. You tell it and it will upload it right to the site. And it's a pretty cool feature. So
really
definitely
cool.
Check it out. www.beeroftheday.com. Now let's get back to the show. Welcome back. It's our Strange Brew segment. You know what that means? Well, maybe you don't, because this is probably the first show that we're going to air.
but it means it's strange.
It means it's strange, and we find the strangest brew that fits the theme. In this case, it's Rogue Farms Marion Berry Braggot. This is a pretty potent beer, 11.42%. That's kind of precise.
How do you think they got the 0.02 part of that?
0.42.
No, well, the 2. The 4 I can get. How do they get the 2?
I don't know. They used a highly calibrated
gravity test.
I've never seen a beer that goes to 2 decimal places on the ABV. That's a first.
I've only seen them where they do that when it means something, so I'm curious. It probably does mean something. Like it has a specific correlation to something important. Like,
I think there's 42 kernels on a Marionberry.
Or maybe their favorite radio station is 1142, but I don't think AM goes that way.
No.
I think their previous strongest brew was probably 11.4, and they had to beat it.
There you go. That's a good idea.
That's the most plausible yet.
Maybe they're just going rogue.
So have you guys ever... Oh, wasn't expecting that. Have you ever had a Marionberry beer before?
No.
I've never had a Marionberry.
I've never had a Marionberry berry.
I think, was Marionberry one of the basketball playing Berry brothers?
No, he was. No. Marionberry was the mayor of D.C., wasn't he?
Yes, and he got caught smoking crack, and he still won after that.
Yep. We've all been there.
Well, everybody in D.C. smokes crack.
Yeah, the sneeze.
Bless you.
All right.
Anyway.
Use your cough button, Andy. Okay, so color-wise, we're looking at kind of a reddish brown. I mean,
it smells similar to the anniversary ale we had last, but it has a little bit more of like a fruit or a sour smell to it. I haven't tasted it yet. It
smells much more fruity.
Yeah.
Much more of a fruit taste.
Does it smell like a Marionberry?
No.
I will let you know after I try a Marionberry.
I mean, if it tastes just like...
Marionberry is like a boysenberry.
Well, yeah, if it tastes just like Marionberry.
I don't know if I've ever had a boysenberry.
Have you had a jam? Boysenberry jam?
Haven't you guys had Marionberry pie?
No.
Delicious.
I'm from California.
We had a boysenberry pie a couple weeks ago.
So if we all drink this and it tastes just like Marionberry, we're just going to say it tastes like Marionberry.
Does that mean it tastes like smoking crack or it tastes like a berry?
Well, let's try it. Let's figure it out together.
Okay, so,
whoa.
That aftertaste, the berry-ness lingers on the aftertaste, yeah. But it's a pretty strong beer up front. I mean,
yeah, but there's like a silky smooth, you know, feeling there. It's not harsh to me.
That's not harsh to me at all.
I can taste the alcohol.
Taste the alcohol, but I wouldn't call it a harsh beer.
Nope, I wouldn't either. Not at all. I would say for over 11%.
Yeah.
11% alcohol.
So here's the thing. If someone told me that there was no fruit in the name, I'm not sure if I would assign a fruit to it.
On the aftertaste, you get it a lot.
I get the berry on the aftertaste.
There's definitely some sort of berryness there.
I feel like it's pleasant on the end.
It lingers.
It does linger.
It just keeps going on and on.
It's making like the back of my throat warm and fuzzy for a while.
That must be the crack.
Okay, so I think it tastes like a little bit like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, it has at least 22 of the 23 flavors, except for the prunes.
I don't get a lot of that. Maybe a little bit, but
I'm not getting that.
As a Dr. Pepper connoisseur, I can't go down that road.
But you like diet Dr. Pepper, don't you?
Not only because I don't want to be a fat ass.
Oh, yeah, but it tastes totally different than regular. Anyway,
actually, diet Dr. Pepper tastes surprisingly like regular Dr. Pepper.
That's a lie. Anyway.
You just ruined our commercial, Britton.
Sorry.
We're going to be millionaires off of that. And then you ruined it.
I tend to do that.
So I do get a lot of carbonation from it.
You do? I don't get a lot of carbonation. I feel like it's one of those highly alcoholic, you know, low carbonation beers. Little small bubbles, very small.
Yeah.
But it's not harsh. It's surprisingly not harsh. It goes down smooth. I think that's because of the sweetness of the Marionberry. I'm not sure exactly what that is, but I like it.
What's the consensus here? Like, do you guys like this or?
I actually really enjoy
it's kinda
it.
It's kind of mixed.
I think it tastes good.
No, I think it's pleasant.
It's very drinkable to me. I mean,
it's one of those beers, and I say it a lot on the show where, it's great to have this one little glass, but I would not want to drink this whole bottle.
I think I could drink more of this. I think I could drink a couple glasses of this. No problem.
I agree with Andy. I'm glad that I'm having this glass, but I don't know if I would keep going back to it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it. Tastes too much like Dr. Pepper to me. Going back to it.
I enjoy it. If there's more in that bottle, I would drink the rest of it.
Well, there is.
There is. It's all you.
You and Steve can...
We'll share.
Share.
We'll Rochambeau.
Nobody else getting like the warm, like at the, like right where your teeth end in the back of your mouth? Like not necessarily on your tongue, but like it's like tangy.
You should see a doctor.
I get a little bit of that.
There's
that,
a little bit of the tang,
like
sour.
Sourness yeah. that you get, that little...
Yeah, and then it goes warm.
I do get that with some beers. I'm not getting it with this.
Oh.
I'm getting it very slightly, but the berry, yeah. I can... The berry lingers a lot for me, more yeah, than it, more than the sour, but much more.
Yeah, the berry taste just keeps going on and on. Interesting beer. Not the strangest beer we've ever had in this segment, but interesting nonetheless. All right, Jeff, time for you to drink a beer. You
finally,
have
getting thirsty.
You have, it's called Adam. It's from Hair of the Dog Brewing Company.
I'll put it up here. Yeah, it's Hair of the Dog from Portland. I was reading the label a little bit ago. Adam was somebody who I think worked at the brewery. He passed away in 2005, and they named this beer after him. So I'm going to open this up.
I figured it would be like Adam of Abbott, Adam and Eve fame.
Like the website or
no, like
the Bible?
Eve. Yeah.
So cool story about Hair of the Dog.
Yeah.
We walked right by there as we were going to Cascade, and we never went.
And
that's the story.
Cool
that's
story.
The cool
that's
story.
My biggest regret.
Yeah.
From Portland.
That place was popping too. Instead, we went to that gluten-free brewery. That was awesome.
That was more out of convenience than anything else.
We were waiting
awful.
For a cab, and
that
there happened to be a brewery across the street from
House Spirits.
I would have rather gotten mugged waiting on the corner for the cab
that was,
than have had those beers.
That was absolutely... Well, not only were the beers terrible, but just the venue was terrible. You walked in, and it smelled like burned food. And it was just thick in the air and
because
nasty.
They can't add bacon and, fat to it, so everything gets burned.
And then well, it was just the worst, like bunch of beers you'd
ever
had.
You make a lot of vegetables look like a
the thing burger. Is, I didn't know that it was gluten free no. at first, so I got this beer and I take a sip of it. I'm like,
I figured terrible. It out when I looked up on the wall and they had their specialty pizza, and it was like tomato, mozzarella, basil. And gluten-free dough. Yeah. I'm like, that's your special for the day?
I
started looking at the menu, and everything was like portobello mushroom right, burger.
They didn't advertise it like, you know, we no, didn't know that going into it. Well, so I had a beer, and then I tried Joel's beer, and I was like, boy, these are both terrible.
I figured it out when the waitress came up with a tank top on, and she had earmuffs in her armpits because she hasn't shaved in 6 years.
They did have one thing that was not vegan, and it was their oyster stout.
And it was
awful also.
Horrible.
Oh, man, that...
Like, make you want to barf horrible.
So, moral of the story, go to Hair of the Dog.
Yeah.
And don't go to the vegan place that we don't even know the name of it.
And here's another thing is, you know, if you're going to drink beer, don't go gluten-free. I mean, just if you're going to go gluten-free, just get drink liquor.
Just don't go gluten-free.
Gluten-free if you had to, but if you don't have to.
Don't.
Hey, we have a special friend who goes gluten-free for the joy of it, and I don't like him very much. You know who I'm talking about.
I do.
Yes. Anyways.
Hey, how's that beer, Jeff?
Yeah, how's your beer, Jeff? Back to you.
I have to say, this is one of the best beers that I've had this year for sure.
Wow.
This is so good. So I poured this. It's very dark.
Wow, look at that.
You guys can see it, right?
Yeah.
It's so dark we can't see it.
It looks like Diet Dr. Pepper.
But it's going to taste like Dr. Pepper.
It tastes a lot like... you guys remember that old stock ale that we had?
Yes.
Yeah, from North Coast.
It's got some viscosity, highly viscous. Is viscous a word?
Oh, yes. Here we go again with the viscosity conversation.
Yes. I love this.
This is right up Andy's alley.
So it's a little thick, like when I poured it. Not like, what was that one, Andy, with the old viscosity?
Older viscosity.
So not quite that thick.
Those are from Port Brewing in San Diego.
Yes.
And it tastes a little bit like the Dogfish Head Midas Touch. You guys have had that one.
Grape musk.
Grape musk.
It's
musk?
Really tasty. It's
musk.
like a smoky molasses taste. I like this a lot. This is highly enjoyable. There was no head when I poured it. But it's sweet, but smooth, or sweet and smooth.
It's
you know the alcohol in that, Jeff?
And Jeff, I missed the...
I know. Tell me what you think it is.
I didn't see it on here.
Yeah. Take a guess.
Well, my guess is it's one of these beers that's pretty high in alcohol but easy to drink. I'd guess 10 or 11%.
Can you pick one? Come on now.
11.
Oh.
10.
Jeez.
10.
You're fired.
So far off.
And Jeff, I missed what you were drinking. What are you drinking?
So it is from Hair of the Dog, which is a Portland brewery, and it's called Adam. They describe it as a hearty old world ale.
So I was looking this up to write down the information about it when you sent it to me, Jeff, and 100 rated on Rate Beer.
Wow.
Yep.
So it's delicious. I would agree.
It's one of the best, apparently.
And I have to look for that.
I
bought this earlier in the week. I think it was $5 or $6 for a single bottle, 12-ounce bottle.
Wow.
So it's pricey, but it is damn good.
I want to try it now.
That's Pasadena prices, though. That's the rich people.
That's true. That was Whole Foods in Pasadena. Yeah.
whole paycheck.
it's like the Nordstrom's of beer.
You guys would like this. It tastes very much like that old stock ale, which I thought was a delicious beer. Yeah. Very tasty. I think worth the price, especially, 10%. I do see on here now it says 10%. You're right, Dallas. But it's one of those beers that 10%, you don't taste it. And I could drink a lot of these and be very happy.
All right. So on our side, this is the beer that I've been most looking forward to.
Me too.
It's called PDX Carpet IPA. Now, there was a big uproar in Portland about the carpet. It even made national news. I was going to Portland, and my mom's like, "Oh, did you see the carpet?" I'm like, "What carpet?" I hadn't even come home yet.
We saw a lot of carpet in Portland.
So I didn't know about the carpet, whatever. And then, so she asked me about it, and then we saw the carpet and we took a picture with our feet on the carpet, which is the thing to do apparently. And then we're in the airport, gift shop before the flight. And there's a Rogue PDX Carpet IPA. So we had to get it.
So now every time this started a thing for me, every time I go to an airport now, because we started at PDX, I take a picture of my feet on the carpet.
Right. I saw that you did that in Seattle. But
I did.
It's not a thing in Seattle.
No. And the carpet in Seattle is like the worst one so far. We did it in, Joel and I did it in, where was it? Miami, Orlando. Somewhere. And Orlando had some pretty righteous carpet too.
You should save that story for the Airport Carpet of the Day podcast.
So what cool story about the airport though in general was, we go through the airport and we see these beers sitting in this little whatever mart, they have in there. And you think anything you buy at the airport is $100 more than you could spend anywhere else. And so Dallas goes in and he grabs all these beers. We don't know what they're going to cost. And he pays for them. He comes back and he's, guess how much these cost? And we had four or five beers and it was like $35, which was, we were guessing $70 and $80 for these beers. And so I did some research and I found out that the Port of Portland or whatever, who runs the airport, says you can't sell anything inside of the airport for more than you sell it at your store on the outside of the airport.
Oh, nice.
Awesome.
So everything in the Portland airport is a reasonable price, except for the nachos, which were awful at the Mexican restaurant.
That's just communism. Yeah. I mean,
they were
were not good.
They were awful.
If you're in the airport, you're trapped.
Yes.
You're going to pay the price. So, I mean,
we paid the price on the nachos. The beer, though, was a great deal.
You should be able to be gouged at least somewhat. All right. So, PDX carpet. Color wise, we're looking at a
normal IPA color.
I would say honey colored.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good description. It's, it's not a straw color as that first beer, but it's, it's very golden.
It smells IPA-ish and floral.
It's not super floral with the hops on the smell.
I don't want to like make this sound bad, but does anyone else get like a shampoo smell? I kind of gave it like a deep smell, and it smelled a little bit like shampoo.
Medicinal.
That's true. I always
get that, actually.
And I say this, and people make fun of me sometimes, but there is a soapy quality to a lot of IPAs.
Yeah.
There is the bitterness, the soapiness, whatever you want to call it. I call it soapy, maybe like the cheap, not Not a fragrance fragrance soap, but like a natural soap, whatever.
Yeah, I get that.
There's a soapiness there.
Yeah, I mean, and if and people in Portland wash their hair, they could actually use this.
they might just use the beer. Oh, this is a soapy quality. I'll just use that.
Well,
so I have a question for you guys. When you were in Portland, did you go into any of these breweries and say, I want one of everything?
Yes.
Yeah.
We did that a lot.
We kind of took note from our previous trips.
Did it work?
Yeah.
Or did they serve you one of everything?
Yeah, we didn't. I mean, other than Cascade, we didn't go anywhere that had enough of anything. They didn't have enough different beers for that to be a problem.
Right.
We always had six people. There were six of us there.
So there's no Ballast Point experience.
No
Ballast Point experience.
We kind of did that at House Spirits, but that doesn't count.
And we went to Commons as well, and they were pretty excited that we were going to drink every beer. I mean, most places were like, oh, you're going to have all of our beers.
But we still had six people. You know, there was no really, you know, Rip Current events. Rip Current, we had five of us, and there was a barrel top full of little tasters, mm-hmm. and I couldn't even tell which one was which.
Yeah, that was big. But like at in Portland, it wasn't like that.
Not at all.
But we did go into Commons and said, look, give us one of everything, and... Yeah. There's a few that we were having trouble getting down.
Yeah.
And when you're at these breweries, do people in Portland talk about like Oregon beers versus California beers? I mean, we go to San Diego a lot. We do this stuff. Is there any sort of like
talk of that or no? There's no pissing contest.
There was no snobbery.
Yeah. Mm.
They had a lot of California beers. We went to that that outdoor picnic table place.
Apex?
Apex.
I mean, and they had as many California beers as they had Oregon beers.
What the heck did I have on Nitro there that was absolutely delicious? I don't remember what it was, but
we
it was
had
really
a,
good.
Britain, we drank like 80 different beers that week.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
so
hard to
remember. There was one at Apex that was on Nitro and it was good.
I did go, Jeff, I went back to Portland 2 months after our trip with the group here. And it was a good trip. I went to that Fire on the Mountain place, and they had a really nice little selection. They had this like cherry ale from one of the breweries there in town, a small brewery. I don't remember who they were, but it was really good. The food was great. I did, on our way home, I stopped by in Klamath Falls. We stayed for a night. I went to Klamath Basin Brewing Company. The beer was excellent. It was, you know, as far as Klamath Falls goes, there's not much to do there. So spending the night at the brewery would have been great. So,
well, I wonder, because in my mind, like 5 or 6 years ago, Oregon was like the beer capital, in our mind, craft beer capital of the U.S. And I feel like the last couple of years, I mean, there's a lot of good Oregon beers, but over the last couple of years, California and like San Diego in particular,
San Diego
has kind
for
of
sure.
become the West Coast capital of beer, of craft brews.
You know what's weird is I just went to Seattle and I was at a brewery in Seattle, and on the menu it was like Seattle and Portland are like the two top craft brew like capitals of the world. And I was like, Seattle, really? Like, I could see Portland.
Yeah.
But I can't see Seattle.
And myself and Barry Bonds hit more home runs than any other players in history.
I thought it was weird.
Combined.
But I remember like several years ago, there was a new brewery opened in Oregon every day. Like it was out of control. Yeah. And there's still a lot that are open, but I feel like California, and again, San Diego in particular, is becoming the West Coast capital.
Supposedly Portland has the most breweries per capita or whatever.
And I had this argument with my buddy's dad when we were there. And I was like, you know, there's a lot of breweries here, but you know, there's a lot in Northern California. So he brought up their whatever map of Portland area breweries, and there was like 150 in the greater Portland area. I was like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but I do think maybe they're not open all the time, or
they're not big,
but I thought in San Diego it was really hard to fit everything in, and Portland was too, but supposedly Portland has the most, but it seemed when I was in San Diego that had more than Portland.
I feel like
are we biased because we're in California and we have more visibility to it? I don't know.
I think San Diego might be a smaller area.
But I don't think we don't. You know, up here we don't have a huge. I mean, we get a lot of the San Diego beers, but that's because those are beers that are distributed either nationwide or at least throughout the West Coast. You know, we don't quite get the same reach that you do. Yeah, just from what I've seen.
I feel like we barely scratched the surface in Portland, though. Like, we could have gone to so many breweries.
We could have.
There was a ton in San Diego.
We went to even more in San Diego, and we definitely didn't scratch the surface. Yeah. And San Diego is big, you know. It extends out for, you know, but
you start talking about per capita. There's a lot more per capita down in San Diego than
Per capita in Portland is high because the population is a lot smaller too.
Mm, yeah,
that's true.
Right. So, all right, so let's talk about this beer.
Yeah.
So I don't like IPAs, and this is like fairly drinkable for
blasphemy.
Me.
Blasphemy.
I know, right?
I get some Cascade hop flavor. It's kind of a very Oregonian IPA. It's not very heavy.
No, there's not a lot of bitterness, which is normally what I experience when I drink IPAs, which is why I don't like them. And this one, there is some, but it's not overwhelming.
I agree. I think there's less hoppy taste and less bitterness than most IPAs.
It lands a little flat on my tongue. It's flavorful.
Sorry.
It's a little dead to me. It doesn't have like that kick that I would like from IPAs, but I like big IPAs. This is a little more subtle. It's, you know, kind of a mirror pond type of beer.
Yeah, it just doesn't have the intensity that I think sometimes we long for in our own personal preference for IPAs. It's got good flavor, like Dallas said. It's just not intense that we see from a lot of Northern California or even just our favorite IPAs.
See, and that's why I think I like it, because it's like toned down a little bit. Yeah, it's more, just like floral and not,
it is very
not
what
so
is it,
hoppy.
6.4?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really in that range of, it's not quite as low, but it's like that Sierra Nevada Pale Ale kind of range. It's somewhere in between IPA and Pale Ale.
Right.
It's a little more mellow.
Mm-hmm.
It's very enjoyable.
It's floral. It's a little sweeter. It has that Cascade hop characteristic that you'll see in Mirror Pond or in Cinder Cone. It's just a little different than those beers.
I like it, which is strange, I think.
You know,
for me, for
I like
my
it.
Taste.
And my biggest complaint with Rogue is their Pac-Man yeast. And I'm pretty sure they use it in this. I assume they do. They use it in everything. And when I taste that, I really don't like it. But in this beer, I don't get that feeling. I don't dislike it because of the yeast, so that's good.
Like Britton, I'm not a huge IPA drinker myself, and I would say it's the non-IPA drinker's IPA to drink, if that's... You know,
yes, that makes sense.
No, it totally makes sense.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. We're going to try and fit two in here. We're only going to do one, but we had extra beers, and so why the heck not? This is Gilgamesh Mega Monster Imperial IPA from Gilgamesh Brewing in Salem, Oregon. This is a little bit more of a heavy hitter, 9.8%. So moving up from a, 6.4%. So this is going to be a little more of that heavy hitting IPA, I would imagine.
I like the pour, I like the head on it.
What's the Imperial? So Salem, Oregon, it's where they had the witch trials that were very.
I like the name.
Very famous for that.
I like the name of the brewery, Gilgamesh.
It reminds me of Gargamel.
I like Mega Monster.
This is a Minotaur on the on the front of the bottle.
A Minotaur.
That is not a Minotaur.
Pretty sure it is.
Where did you get this beer?
We bought it in the airport.
Was it really?
This is one of the Portland airport ones?
All the ones with that label on the side.
I will say that we did not pay more for this beer than it was sold for on the outside.
I think the price is on there.
Thanks. $10.95.
It smells sweet.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
It was bottled on November 15th.
Of what year?
2014.
The Epic of Gilgamesh is a tale from the ancient
Babylonian, I believe.
Yes.
So I have not.
That was impressive.
So I have not had.
Me and Gilgamesh go way back.
Gilgamesh was a ruler of a city state called Uruk.
So this is a dark red beer.
Is this Scientology
it's history.
It's definitely an amber.
Same thing.
Color and. You know, I don't.
You watch that documentary, Jeff?
No.
Okay. You got to see that.
Poor Joel.
Pasadena is like a
back
zero.
Yeah, Pasadena is. Back on topic. Joel, please continue.
So this is the kind of beer that I'm scared to try. So when I smell it.
Why? Because it's named Gilgamesh or
no,
why?
No, it's because when you smell.
You know, I never described as a beer as something I'm scared to try.
Oh, well.
So no, when I
no,
smell,
I get what he's saying
when
right
smell
now.
This beer, I'm concerned about how alcoholic it's going to be. Just because the smell of it, it says, oh, this is going to be insanely hard to drink and really alcoholic. Like almost where the alcohol is going to overflavor everything.
Yes, I agree.
So I haven't tried it yet, but Dallas has, and I think
Dallas. What's so funny?
His face.
What's the percentage on this?
This is going to be great.
It's a whopping 9.8. It's not even the double digits.
Here we go.
That's Britton's nose.
No, that was him.
Oh. How's it?
Joel nailed it.
Is it?
I think Dallas like almost choked, didn't he?
Here's the problem with this beer. It tastes way more alcoholic than it should be.
I absolutely 100% agree with you.
It's very bitter.
I'm like, is this gonna
not bitter?
Like,
no,
I think that Andy and I need to make out
bitter.
Right now. Because
this is on camera.
It's bitter.
I don't get bitter.
Oh, I did not like it at all.
There is a bitter finish. Okay,
bitter finish.
Okay,
it's
bitter
my 30, finish. The 30 like, second aftertaste yeah. is yes. weird.
It's like cotton mouth right away.
I got malty.
No. 30
it's
second
like
aftertaste.
It's like eating cheese that is looks fine, and then you see a piece with mold on it, and then all of a sudden you feel like you just ate a bunch of mold.
I don't get that. Look, I'm going to have to, hold on, I'm going to have to implement Andy's 3-sip rule.
I really want to try this beer.
Before I weigh
in
on this.
I'm shocked.
Here you go.
That was pretty good.
I am shocked at how unique this beer is in a bad way.
In a bad way. I do not like this.
Okay, so, I do not like it at all.
The finish is awful, but I think when I have it in my mouth and I'm tasting it, there's a lot of flavors in there that actually I kind of like. I kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. I'm getting like malty. I'm getting sweet, and then you exhale,
oh,
and now
is,
I'm getting
bad.
That bitter
like,
that
I
you
get
guys
a little complexity, and then it immediately turns to sourness and bitterness, and then it just.
Yes. It's almost
it dies a slow
it's
death.
Almost that bile taste
yes.
that you get after you.
I was thinking
barf.
That exact yep. thing.
No,
yes,
exactly.
Yes, it's like on the exhale, it's really bad.
And
I'm
also,
getting it now.
Yeah, it's
I'm
like
totally
that after you've been puking your guts out.
Yes.
It's like that taste
it's
in
that
the back
bile.
Of your mouth.
I don't.
But I agree with Steve. When it's in your mouth, it's like.
Jeff's face. Jeff, I really wish you could try some of this because it tastes.
It's so bad.
I think I just tasted it based on that reaction.
It tastes like bile in a
yeah.
bucket of rusty nails.
Hey,
yeah.
Definitely that rusty nails taste.
Which is disappointing because when, like Steve said, when it's in your mouth,
I can't
it's
even I can't even
good.
Get it back in my mouth. It's so bad.
This is. I'm sorry, guys.
My reaction. Hey. I'm going to go back and look at my reaction because
it's hilarious.
It was like horror mixed with anticipation because it's going to be so good when you guys try it.
You reminded me of in Dumb and Dumber when the cop like drinks it out of the beer bottle and he's all.
Well, it's funny because Andy and I had the drink about the same time.
Yeah. We had one sip each, and we have not had another sip since.
And so we put it, we drank it, and it wasn't that bad. And we're like, oh,
chug,
well, you know,
it
tastes alcoholic. And then it was that 15-second thing.
Yeah, at least. Yeah.
So,
and then it was bad.
So
yeah.
First sip for me was fine. The second sip, I got the bitterness. The third sip is actually making my stomach churn.
I can't.
My stomach churned a little bit as well.
I actually
my
cannot
stomach
drink
is
it.
Churning. I can't drink it either.
It's being poured out.
Dallas finishing it.
Ugh.
Andy's third sip rule in effect, and it's awful.
That is awful.
There's like a little prune flavor too.
So I'm drinking.
I am definitely Steve afraid of prunes. That I wish I was eating a prune right now.
I am drinking Marienberry.
There's no way I would drink a glass because the aftertaste is so bad that it's not enjoyable at all.
We're playing
not
King's enjoyable. Cup here.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we decided to throw an extra beer in here because I'd hate to quit on that.
I was going
to
say the same thing. You know, I think we're going to finish off strong here.
Hey, is this the worst beer we've had on the podcast?
Except that Bayhawk.
No, this might actually be worse.
No, it is worse.
That's the worst
at least beer. That was drinkable.
That's pretty bad.
Beer like that.
That full pint gone. Plus whatever's left in the bottle here. Most of it.
There's no way that he can pick that bottle up in LA, huh?
You should try it for just how bad it is. Like,
Jeff,
you actually need to try this.
Why don't you just fly up to Portland, walk around the airport, grab the bottle, fly out back.
On your way there, take a picture of the carpet.
Yeah, yes. Fly to Portland to buy a terrible beer. That's a great idea.
Yeah, but you know what? At least it'll have the distinction of being the worst beer he's ever had.
It just lingers, you know? My taste buds are
shocked. But wait. I still think it's better than the ones that we had at the gluten-free place.
No.
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 I think it is. Because that oyster.
Absolutely not.
I
could not drink any more. No, the oyster stout was probably my favorite one there. The rest of them I couldn't drink. This beer, I could not finish the glass. That little glass that I had, I could not. Even this little remnant, I want that gone. Get out.
And nobody's ever had another beer from Gilgamesh?
No.
No.
What it's called? Gilgamesh, right? This is the first one?
Okay, so I wish we're going to put the picture of this bottle up on the website.
Avoid at all costs.
The picture of the bottle is what it's going to do to your taste buds. It is.
No, really. It's true.
There's not a lot of beers that we all dislike.
This is one. Right?
They're rare.
This might be one of them.
This one's awful.
It's great when this happens. I love this because, you know, we go out and we buy beers for the podcast and we generally pick beers that we think that we want to try, that we're going to be enthusiastic about. And every once in a while you get one that's just not good. And
this one's just not good.
It's glorious when that happens.
I'm definitely in the minority here, but I don't think it's the worst beer I've ever tried.
What's your worst beer?
I couldn't name one off the top of my head.
Maybe
that's worse.
The one that gave you hives.
I don't know though. It's just the aftertaste is what makes it horrible to me. But I mean, I couldn't drink a bottle of it. I couldn't drink a pint of it even. But I mean,
I agree with Steve. It's not the worst beer I've ever had.
If they could do something to fix how it finishes, then it wouldn't be that terrible.
How do you fix it?
I don't know.
If they could.
Hey Joel, can you just fix how you finish?
It's not my problem.
You don't want the
Oh man.
I agree with Dal. What Dal said. I am so happy we found this other beer at the store today. This is the only beer that we did not bring back from Portland. We found it today.
Back to this Gilgamesh thing. So I poured some of the PDX carpet in my glass.
I was setting that up so nicely, and you just stepped right on it.
Step it out. I can still taste this crap. Sorry. Cut that whole part out, and then he can do it again.
I'm it's done. Just go.
I'm sorry. That was all. I poured more beer in my glass from a different bottle just to get the. Just to get the taste out of my mouth, and it's still there. I'm sorry.
Is it worse than the Sculpin Habanero that nobody would chug?
No, I will tell you what. The Sculpin Habanero with the Angry Swine pizza was maybe the best beer and pizza pairing I've ever had in my life.
Until the next day.
Yes, until absolutely true. Until
3 a.m. most likely.
Yes, until I got back from the pizza place.
All right, so set this up, Andy. I don't know what it is.
So, you know, yeah, like I said, you know, this is the only beer we didn't bring back from Portland. However, it is an Oregon beer. It's from Deschutes. It's their Jubal 2015. And this looks like it's some sort of special release. It says ale with 50% aged in Pinot and Oregon oak barrels. So it's got the wax covering and everything. I had to cut through that with a key. So we'll check it out.
The barrels excite me.
I like the bottle a lot.
Yeah. It looks classy, doesn't it?
Sometimes these wax bottles give Andy trouble. Oh,
got it.
He got it.
I prefixed that one.
He primed it.
Prefix?
All right, while we're pouring this one.
Why don't you guys talk?
Sunday night is the premiere of the fifth season of Game of Thrones.
Hell yeah.
And Oma Gang from New York is their brewery partner, and they've been coming out with Game of Thrones beers. The last one we did on this show, Valar Morghulis, we weren't a big fan of, but
it was okay.
it was fine for what it is. The next one, it's called the Three-Eyed Raven. It's the beer they just came out with, and they didn't have it at the store yet, but because Game of Thrones is coming back and because I saw the article in the news, I wanted to mention that it is getting very good reviews, the Three-Eyed Raven. So
really?
If you see it out there, maybe pick it up. We'll pick it up when I see it in the store, and we'll let you know. All right, so Jubal.
Jubal from Deschutes.
It's smell-
How do you spell that? Jubal.
J-U-B-E-L?
Yes. With a J.
It smells wonderful. It smells like a banana kind of smell to it, kind of fruit smell.
Yeah.
Oh, the banana totally for sure. Does.
Really good.
Plantain.
Steve nailed it.
Man, banana was right on.
Yeah, it is. It smells delicious.
Banana. Absolutely banana.
It smells like I'm about to drink a smoothie.
It's not anything like a smoothie.
Jon Snow.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
Yeah, those guys are fun.
So are you.
I like it a lot.
Andy has not seen the show, so.
Oh, yeah.
Forgive him.
Okay, so I'm a
you
big,
know nothing.
I'm a big fan of, is it Banana Wells? Is that beer?
Yep.
Wells Banana Bread?
Yes, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that stuff's delicious.
I appreciate
delicious.
That. So this reminds me a lot of it, but it's a darker version of it, and it's actually.
And more alcoholic.
It's more alcoholic, it's a darker version, and I'm really impressed by this beer.
I like it a lot.
What's the alcohol in this?
Britain?
10.4.
That's solid. Point 0.40? 0.42?
Not taken out to the second decimal, just 10.4.
It does taste like a little bit more than 0.4, maybe 0.4.
Those are also known as the hundredths.
Technicalities.
Here's the thing. If you guys have all had, Wells Banana Bread?
I've had it. It's been a long time.
Yeah, that's very banana, though.
You know how I know Wells Banana is that was the last Twitter post from the old Beer of the Day Twitter.
Yeah.
It was the very last one. It was on there for like 5 years until whatever we posted.
I really love Wells Banana.
I was at Streets of London, yeah, and I posted that.
Oh, Wells Banana is delicious.
This one is very similar to that, except for it's a lot darker and a lot thicker. The mouth feels a lot thicker. And the color's a lot darker.
I feel like I needed a little slice of ginger between these two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
mean,
maybe it definitely is helping like the aftertaste of the previous beer a lot, the Gilgamesh.
It's so weird that it's very few times where we've been in the podcast where I feel like the previous beer really affected the next tasting that I'm having. It's just the other beer might be so bad, the previous beer, that this might taste amazing.
Yeah, I was having a hard time nailing this one, and in reading the description, I was like, oh, yeah, that's what I'm getting.
I think it's the opposite, where the previous beer was so bad, you could have given me anything next, and I would think it was great.
Yeah.
So I'm like having to temper my enthusiasm. Is this really good, or is this just good in comparison to the last one?
I really, when I taste this, I get a lot of like grandma's baking something. Like I get like cinnamon, I get kind of like nutmeg, I get...
If I told you what was like what's in the description, as soon as I read the description, I was like, okay, yeah, that's totally what I'm getting. But toasted caramel, raisins, dates, and figs. Yeah, I totally get that. Yeah.
It's a little bit thicker than I like in any beer that I like, or any beer that I prefer. It's got a little bit more of a syrup taste to it, and I think it has something to do with, you know, the figs, and the imperial side of it.
It's that barrel aging process really just sucks out any carbonation and just causes that syrupiness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sweet, too.
It's sweet.
You know, I had my first sip after that last beer, and I thought it tasted awful. So, and I knew that it was like this bittery finish that came from that previous beer. So I washed my mouth out with some water, and it's really good.
It is good.
It's so complex. It's got a lot of things going on there.
Yeah, we had last year, it was the year of the barrel-aged stouts. There were so many of them. There was the North Coast anniversary one that we mentioned.
The
we
old, stock, old Rasputin.
Old Rasputin.
Old, yeah. Ooh, old Rasputin.
The Hex Banner.
We had the old stock. We had the Narwhal.
Narwhal, barrel-aged.
Two different Narwhals. Mm-hmm. We had
the Black Butte.
Narwhals.
Yeah, the Black Butte 17 or 18 or whatever.
26.
Whatever. Some number.
Goose Island.
Goose, that's the best one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, right there. So there were so many of them, and this is right in stock in that same vein. It's quite tasty.
It's one of those beers where you talk about seasons, and the stouts, those, you know, barrel aged stouts tend to be released in the late fall and the winter. You know, they're a winter beer where you want to be warm. You want to, you know, they call them winter warmers. That's not really a winter warmer style, but that's what it is. It's warming you up. You don't need much. Yeah, it's a lot of calories. It's a heavy beer.
Yep.
We were kind of in the spring pale ale IPA season now. And for those that like them, some lagers. It just doesn't really fit with the day I had today. Does that make sense? You know, if this was November, I think I'd like this beer more.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a little out of season, but still pretty good.
You think you have this at like on Christmas Day?
Yeah.
You know, like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those cold winter nights. That's what this would fit in on. All right. Well, let's go ahead and recap the beers that we've had today. Andy, you want to take us through?
If I can. Let's see here. We started off with Rooster's Cream Ale from, where was that from?
Coalition.
Yeah, okay. And then we moved on to the Rogue Creamery 80th Anniversary Ale. As an Imperial Brown. And then we had the Marionberry Braggot for our Strange Brew. And we moved on to the PDX Carpet IPA. Then we had the Gilgamesh Mega Monster, whatever they want to, they can call that beer, but it's not.
It's a monster for sure.
It's awful. And then we finished it off with the Jubal 2015. So and from Deschutes.
And in there, Jeff had the India Red Ale from Double Mountain and Adam from Hair of the Dog Brewery. And so, Jeff, you got a couple more that you get to choose from for your beers of the day.
Just two, though.
That's true.
It's funny. If I could choose my beer of the day, I would choose the one that Jeff had.
I was thinking the exact same thing.
The 12-ounce one. What was that again?
The Hair of the Dog one?
Yeah.
The
Dog.
Yeah. Yeah, we should have gone there, man.
You described it so well. I was like, I think that's my favorite one.
Yeah.
So Jeff, that beer, Adam, I had known that beer was one of the highest ranked beers out there. I did not know it was from Hair of the Dog. If I had known that, because I had, you know, listening to other podcasts and things like that, I've heard of this beer many times, and they talk about how good it is. I never put two and two together, the fact that, oh, I'm just going to be drunk and walk past this place and move on, you know, past the greatest beer there is.
And even then, because it was Hair of the Dog, and we were all hungover.
Yeah, it would have been perfect.
And I was like, you know, that would be fitting to go to, and we're like, no, we're on a mission. Yes. We have to get to the place we said we were going to go.
Andy, you're a big fan of Hair of the Dog anyway, aren't you? You like a lot of their beers, don't you?
I've only had none of them.
Oh, okay. For some reason, no, I thought you
they don't distribute down here. I might have had one up there when on my last trip. I don't remember.
And I think I was pretty lucky. Like, I went to the store just looking for some Portland beers, and that was the first one I found. And I knew nothing of this beer. And it stood out. I grabbed it, and it's delicious.
You could always wait for another sale and get some cheap flights.
So
go
Andy,
back.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll have to look for that here for sure.
So, Andy, what is your beer of the day of the ones that we had here?
So I'm going first. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
I had to read them off. Come on now. Let's see. You know, I don't think it's that tough. Unfortunately, it's the Jubal 2015. And like I said, I think I would have enjoyed that one more in November, December. But the competition wasn't that good today, in my opinion. I didn't find any of these to be spectacular. The Jubal, it was very enjoyable. It was the most complex beer. It had the most to offer me. I don't know what else to say about it, but it was a great beer.
Okay, Joel.
All right, so most likely that I would drink all time would probably be the PDX IPA. It was a very just like solid beer. I could drink it a ton. It's got a good flavor. It's got a good hop. I actually like that Cascade hop that Dallas said. It's in there. It's not overwhelming. But I'm really glad. If I had to choose my beer of the day, I would definitely choose the Rooster Cream Ale. It's at 4.8% ABV, but it's just a really good drinkable beer, something I'm glad I had. And if I had to go through all this list of things that were unique or things that I'm glad I had, I'm really glad I had that beer. You know, it's something that was different than the things I've had in the past.
Britton.
So I'm going to kind of agree with Joel. I really liked the Rooster's Cream Ale, but I'm going to go with the PDX Carpet because I am not an IPA drinker. And I think that that is the one that I'm most glad that I had because it's not a beer that I would normally drink. I'm going to go with the PDX Carpet.
Wait, before you go, Steve, I just have to note that I had to pick some flaked barley out of my teeth.
All right, guys. Steve? I'm gonna take the Gilgamesh Mega Monster. No,
that was my beer of the day.
The first and last time Steve will be on this podcast.
I agree with Andy that the Jubal had the most complexity. It's a very enjoyable beer, but if I had to pick one, I think that I was gonna have like 5-6 pints of, and that's all I was drinking that night. I think I would go with the 80th Anniversary Creamery, the Rogue one. It was really easy to drink. I really liked it a lot. I feel like I could have several pints of it, and it would keep tasting very good.
Wow. This has never happened before.
Usually we all agree on the same beer.
At least there's some agreement. We have four different ones, and four people have gone, and I'm the last
one.
It's
up to Dallas. Who do you like most?
That's not about... It's about what beer I like the most.
All right, let's hear it.
I have to say Jubal.
Yeah! Likes me the most.
No, it's not that I like Andy the most. It's that I like the beer. I mean, it really is.
There's a complexity to it that
it's
isn't
complex
there.
Complex, and it's sweet, and it's. I mean, it's. There's a lot of craft that's gone into it. I mean, they took their time and they really came out with a very well balanced beer. And for that style, which there's a lot of them that are trying to do just that, that does it quite well. So I'm going Jubal. And you know, just to not throw that out there, because no one said Marion Barry Braggot, but
that was my second
for 11.42%.
I think they could have kept it below 11.4, but we'll let the 0.02 slide.
11.42%. For that high in alcohol, it doesn't taste like it.
It was good. It was very enjoyable.
That was absolutely my second pick.
It was it wasn't over the top. It maybe had a little too much of the blueberry aftertaste or marionberry, whatever you want to call it.
There's a syrupiness.
There was a syrupiness, but it was quite good, and I don't want to let that go unmentioned. I think we can all agree the worst beer of the day, Gilgamesh Mega Monster.
Yeah, oh, that's unanimous.
Speaking of unmentioned, there is a pint glass here on our table. People at home.
So if anybody wants it, just send us $5 in a Ziploc bag. And
we will put this up on eBay tonight.
We will put it. We will double bag it in a Ziploc bag and ship it to you.
It's all yours.
Just send $5 shipping and handling. It's all yours.
Actually, I'm kind of a glutton for punishment, so I'm going to drink it after this.
That's
that sounds like a terrible idea. And
Jeff, so you liked Adam better than the IRA.
Well, how many beers did you guys have? Five?
Six.
So I think I'm the winner here because I had two really good beers.
You did.
You are the winner.
And... the Double Mountain was really good, the IRA. These are rare. I don't know about you guys, but I don't see a lot of red IPAs.
Now, that IRA, and I don't remember because they had two beers. They had the Creek Ale, which was our favorite. We kept going back for. But I swear the other one was the IRA at the single Fresh, Wet, and Wild thing. I can't be sure.
It may have been.
It may have been. But
because they had the green one and the red one.
Yeah, they were both really good. But that Creek Ale was so good and so different from everything we had there that we kept going back for that.
Yeah,
but
that was
I agree
good.
With you, Jeff, that those are two beers that I am jealous of.
And we didn't make it out to Hood River, but definitely from that beer festival, that was one of the, my favorite breweries that I was excited about because they had some good ones there. So
yeah, this was good, very tasty. I mean, especially because of the piney hoppy taste that I like, but absolutely Hair of the Dog, the Adam Ale. If you can find that, that was my beer of the day. Delicious. One, you know, like I said before, probably the best beer I've had all year. Just the overall smoothness. It's not a type of beer I drink a lot of. It's this kind of like old world ale, they call it now. It's so good. It's so tasty. 10%, well worth the cost. I would highly recommend Hair of the Dog. That's my beer of the day.
I'm jealous of you. Yeah. I'm so
me
jealous.
Too. Yeah, I would take your two beers over all these six.
Yeah, I would too.
And if you're ever in Portland and you're walking down the under the freeway,
the underbelly,
through the
stop at Hair of the Dog.
It's right there next to the.
It was the first thing we saw the other side of the river. It's
and we thought about stopping. We're like, no.
Man, we're so thirsty and we're hungover and it's Hair of the Dog. Let's keep walking another 2 miles.
We'll go back.
Yeah, we'll go back.
Next time.
Yep. All right. All right, we're going to close it out here on the Beer of the Day podcast. But we thank you for joining us for the show this evening. We will see you next time, probably another couple of weeks. We're going to try and do these more frequently. Until next time, check out our website, beeroftheday.com, and let us know what you think. For Jeff Miller, Andy Hamilton, Joel Miner, Britton Miner, Stephen Williamson, my name's Dallas Helliker. You've been listening to the Beer of the Day podcast. We'll see you next time.